help us to commence our service this evening with hymn 680. 680. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Hymn 680.
Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the Gospel of Luke, reading part of chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and we'll read the first 40 verses. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware, ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost will teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature, one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. The Lord grant his blessing upon that portion of his holy word to each one of us. May he now help us in prayer before him. O thou most holy, almighty and gracious God, Lord, we come once more to gather ourselves together around thy holy word, desiring thy presence to be known and felt in our midst and in each of our hearts. O Lord, grant to us this night the unity of thy Spirit. Grant to us the bond of thy peace as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, may Christ indeed be the glory this night in our midst as we look into thy holy word and consider him. O Lord, do help us and guide us and direct us in the way of thy truth. And may it be revealed to us the way that is everlasting, the way to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, his shed blood, his death, the sacrifice for sin. O Lord, grant the power of the knowledge of it by thy Holy Spirit. May it abide in our hearts, and thy word dwelling in our hearts richly. Lord, do cast out sin and enter in. Yea, as the hymn writer says, be born in us today. So, Lord, may we know thy presence, the power and blessing of it. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come. We thank thee, Lord, for the freedom to come, the privilege to come. Lord, thou hast granted us sufficient health and strength to gather here this night. And we thank thee, Lord, for safety on every journey, whether they be shorter or longer. Lord, remember those who may be listening into this service. Be with them where they are, Lord, those in their own homes or wherever it may be. O Lord, grant also them to each one the witness by thy Spirit of the love of Christ within their heart. Remember those who are detained, Lord, through illness or concern because of contact with the dreadful virus. Oh, Lord, we pray that any symptoms may be mild and soon overcome with improvement of health and strength. Lord, hear prayers put up to thee to that end, and even sanctify such times to the blessing of the soul. Lord, help one to be earnest in their petitions. And Lord, may it be known that thou doth hear and answer those prayers. I do pray for others, Lord, that perhaps are looking after the children, the young ones. O Lord, remember them in their homes. Grant thy presence and thy blessing upon them. Shield them from all harms and dangers and every evil. Lord, remember any who are detained, maybe by duty and responsibility. Those who through weakness, maybe of older age. Lord, we commend all to thee. Hear the many prayers that are put up to thee in the pouring out of their hearts, for thou knowest their need. We pray thou wilt supply them. And each of us here, Lord, tonight, oh, do supply our needs. Lord, spiritual, as we are in the courts of thy house, Lord, to be fed with the truth, as it is in Jesus, the bread of heaven, a broken, Lord, that we may partake by faith, something for the profit, good and life and strengthening of our souls. Oh, Lord, without thee we can do nothing, nothing to that end, nothing for our blessing, nothing for our strengthening, nothing for our spiritual comfort. Lord, thou must come and take of thy word. Lord, my words alone shall do us no good. But, O Lord, do speak through thy word in the way thou wouldst have it opened up and spoken of, and prepare our hearts to receive it. May the words of these my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. O Lord, we do pray for each one of this church and congregation. Lord, be with the deacons. Help them, Lord, in all things, at all times. Their prayerful exercises. Lord, do grant that unity. For thou dost say, where two agree together, touching anything in thy name, it shall be done. O Lord, do grant those exercises of heart for thy will and thy purpose and for the good of the souls of thy people here. Lord, remember our friend in his bereavement, mourning the loss of his dear wife. O Lord, we commend him to thee. Lord, be to him his God of all comfort and his Father of all mercies. Uphold him day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Lord, help him to rest, even in thy love, shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost, are given to him. And remember the family, the loved ones. We would likewise pray for them. Lord, the children, the grandchildren. Lord, we commend them into thy care and keeping. Lord, with each of the members of this church, Lord, do grant, Lord, that unity, determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. O Lord, make this place the place of thine habitation. And Lord, increase those that are of the professing church here. Remember the congregation, Lord, each one, in their pathways. Lord, do not leave any outside the knowledge of thy redeeming love. O Lord, we pray thou wilt work that work of grace, where there's the constraining of thy love, Lord, to tell to thine honour and glory the mercy thou hast imparted unto their souls. O Lord, do not let any rest short of the knowledge of thy redeeming love in the forgiveness of their sins. O Lord, our hearts are deceitful above all things. They are desperately wicked. Satan is a mighty foe. Lord, he will tempt us, and we can so readily go to rest on inferior things, just outward things, rather than, oh, the shed blood of the Lamb of God, who alone can take away the sin of the world, that terrible sinfulness of our own hearts. Be with the young people and the children. Oh, remember them, Lord, in their pathways. The little ones growing up. Lord, keep them in thy loving care. Lord, confirm them as the lambs of thy fold. Those, Lord, in education. Lord, help them to learn that which shall be good for them in the years that are yet to come. Oh, can it be thy will? Lord, do teach them as their faculties develop to read the Holy Scriptures for themselves. For they testify of Christ Jesus. And oh, may they find him, Lord, in all the sweetness of the precious gospel for the salvation of their souls. Lord, the young people in all things before them and upon them, in education, higher education, occupations. Lord, we do pray for them in training. And Lord, as they approach adulthood, as they have to stand alone at so many circumstances of their lives. Lord, do leave them not alone, but be with them, stand by them, strengthen them to do, speak and walk in the ways that are right in thy sight. Oh, deliver them from the temptations and enticements to sin and go in the ways of unrighteousness, leaving, Lord, the way of thy word. Thy word not being a lamp to their feet or a light to their pathway. Oh, Lord, save them from the ways of destruction. And, Lord, maintain them in thy loving care and raise from amongst them those who shall tell of the mercy they have found, who are able to say, come, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Not only the young people, but older ones also, Lord. Oh, may each of us hear, not only once, but again and again, Lord, declare thy goodness, thy mercy, in spite of our many sins. Bless the ministry of the gospel here. Lord, in every engagement of those thou hast sent to labour in the ministry of the gospel, O Lord, do use thy word through thy servants as messengers in thy message. And may it often be said by each one, it has been good that we've been up to the house of the Lord. Even yea, he met with me there. O Lord, do meet with thy people through the ministry of the gospel. May there be often words in season, tokens of thy love. Remember those, Lord, who are cast down, those who have various troubles, difficulties, things hard to bear, duties, responsibilities which seem to arise against them. Lord, thou knowest each heart poured out before thee. Lord, we pray thou wilt wonderfully appear. Lord, for nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. Oh, so hear the prayers of faith. Those things which seemingly perhaps are impossible to the human thought and reasoning, the human mind. Lord, thou canst perform that great work to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, so hear the prayers of each one. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O, do forgive. Lord, we pray for those ministers of the gospel who are unwell. Lord, we hear of one and another, also of older age, laying aside because, Lord, of felt weakness. Oh, Lord, we do pray thou wilt uphold those who cannot continue at this time in the labours thou hast called them to bear. Lord, do strengthen them through the word, thy word, which they have preached to others. And Lord, raise up others to preach the gospel in their stead. Oh, Lord, the need is great in this evil day. The powers of evil rise up. Oh, Lord, the Satan is a mighty foe. Oh, Lord, may the gospel yet go forth, have free course, and be glorified. Those, Lord, where thou hast begun the exercise, bring it to fruition. Lord, send them forth. Oh, in perhaps in great fear and trembling as it will be, but with this their strength, have not I sent thee? Hear us then, Lord, in all these things. Pardon all we ask amiss. We ask it all in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Hymn 678.
In complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text this evening to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, from which we read, and verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Portion, dear friends, that we read this evening are the words of Jesus. Yes, one spoke to him and asked him a question, but the majority of that which we read tonight is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners, and how we need to take heed to it. The Lord Jesus touched upon a wide range of things, didn't he? This portion contains warnings and it contains promises. And dear friends, we need both, don't we? We need both to keep us and help us in the way that is right before God and in the hope of eternal life. Before coming directly to the text, we notice in this portion several warnings. The first one is regard a Pharisaical spirit. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. As the teaching of the Pharisees, but they were upright. They were righteous. They were able to judge others. They were acceptable before God. And their outward walk was far better than that of others. Their hope of eternal life was that they were born amongst the Lord's people. Oh, they could look to the prophets. They could look to the law. They could live with expectation that they were favoured before God. But all their religion was outward. Within, in their hearts, they were vile sinners. What a warning that is to us, isn't it? Perhaps we've been born and brought up amongst the people of God. We have the word of truth which has been read and expounded to us, and perhaps we've read it for ourselves. And our walk, outward walk, day by day is so different to that of others. And we're beguiled by our own inward evil heart that we are better than others and that we are acceptable before God because of our conduct and because of our walk. Oh, what a sandy foundation that is. That's the foundation of our hope of eternal life, a hope that will give way in the day of judgment, because it falls short of dependence upon Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus gives a warning. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Second warning. Fear God, who can not only bring to pass the end of our lives, but can also cast into hell in the day of judgment. We naturally have the fear of others, don't we, in this wicked world, who can viciously take our lives from us. And how solemnly we hear of so many who have been murdered, killed on the streets and even in homes, even little children. Oh, how dreadful is the wickedness of mankind. It ever has been, dear friends, and it ever will be. And we have a natural fear to those who are so disposed. But once they've killed our bodies, they can do nothing else. The warning is, fear God, who has the power to cast into hell. He who has the power to save. And oh, how we're to live in that tender fear. A fear to be concerned whether we shall fall outside of his mercy and grace on account of our sin. We're to fear him. The Lord Jesus also warns concerning covetousness. That's in the nature of our hearts and minds, isn't it? Earthly covetousness. We read how our hearts, they're ever saying, give, give, give. They ever want, want, want. And they will take, take, take everything of this earthly life for one's own felt good and comfort and pleasure and prosperity and self-esteem. I don't think any of us can say we've never coveted. But how solemn the Lord Jesus speaks of it. The Lord Jesus said he didn't come to divide earthly riches and give good things to us in that sense. And he spoke of this solemn parable of the rich man whose fields brought forth plentifully. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He was already rich. And he thought within himself, what would he do? And dear friends, he was full of earthly wisdom, wasn't he? I know I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. There will I stow all my goods and all my fruits. And he said unto himself, all you have, much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Go enjoy yourself. You've got nothing to worry about. Oh, if you come into trouble, you can pay your way out of it. You can entertain many friends. I'll be only pleased to come and enjoy the good of the land with you. That's what he said, but God said, thou fool. That night, his breath of his body would be taken from him. He would die. His soul would be required. And who shall those things be then which, you have provided? All the things of this earth are so temporal, aren't they? And yet, dear friends, our hearts, how they go after them. As if we cannot live without them. Yes, we do have needs. But they're not to be our chief consideration, our chief concern. There's only one covetousness which the scripture upholds us. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Those are the eternal gifts. Through the grace and the mercy and the love of God in the gift of his Son. Oh, dear friends, what plans have you got for this new year? When I was younger, I often looked at the months, the weeks which was before me and considered what I would do. Yes, I would do this, I would do that, I would prosper in this, I would prosper in that. Whether it was sport, entertainment, education or what it was. Dear friends, how solemn when God is not in all our thoughts. We only think of the things for the good of our bodies. And we strive to obtain them. And if riches do increase, we do not give the glory to God. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Well, let us not be unmindful of these things. And then there's also that warning concerning the end of days, when we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. A warning that our hearts and minds are taken up with everything which we have to consider in our duties and responsibilities upon this earth. No, God is not in all our thoughts. No fear of God before our eyes. We continue in an earthly path with earthly minds, earthly thoughts, earthly schemes. Difference as you and me by nature as man. Oh, what a warning there is here. What a warning there is. Dear friends, for us to be mindful of these things which affect us. When we read the Word of God, how do we read it? Dear friends, we need it to read us, don't we? Oh, what sinners we are. How far short we come, short of the glory of God. We cannot claim, can we truly, any righteousness of our own. Perhaps we do. Oh, the scripture speaks of our sins being as scarlet in the eyes of God. Deep-dyed sins. And in our own selves we can perhaps confess, yes, I'm a sinner. But there's probably many a white patch on our clothing. Oh, we're not so bad there as others. That's a good point about me. I've done this, I've done that. And yes, I fall in this and I fall in that, but I've got these good points as well. Dear friends, that's not acceptable before God, is it? We're all as an unclean thing, filthy through and through, because of our sin in His most holy sight. Oh, let us not be deceived. That's what we are. And yet we have this text. This word of Jesus. Fear not. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I was once told there's a fear not in the scriptures for every day of the year. And that came to light some recently as well in the words of someone else that I was reading of. And, dear friends, I've never counted the fear nots in the scripture. There's not 365 by any means. There's a number of be not afraids. Whether they all come to 365 or 366, I don't know. But we know there are many fear nots. There are many be not afraids. And they're in the term when the Lord is speaking to His people. For His people do fear. Dear friends, those warnings we've just read and considered, do they not put within you a fear? A fear that you'll only be a castaway when that time of judgment comes. Even the Apostle Paul feared to be a castaway. He said he had to keep himself under. He knew what it was to have a sinful heart all his days. the good that he would that he did not, the evil that he would not that he did. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus, who speaks here, fear not. Fear not, little flock. He's speaking to a Pacific people whom he terms a flock. Now, dear friends, a flock is made up of individual sheep, aren't they? Some of you know far more about sheep than I do. But sheep, of themselves, they're not strong creatures, are they? They cannot really defend themselves. When the enemy comes, the threat from another beast, all they can do really is run. A sheep need a keeper. They need to be defended. They need to be preserved, watched over. They're prone to stray. And the keeper is called a shepherd. And dear friends, the sheep need a good shepherd. One who takes care of them in all their need. One who shall supply all their need. One who owns them as his own. We think of those words, don't we, of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, dear friends, what a favoured flock that is, of whom Jesus is the shepherd. He goeth before them. He leads them forth by the right way. A way that leads to eternal life. He is their defence. When they stray, he will fetch his wandering sheep back. Yes, there may be the chastening, the correction, the rod. But it's all in love. That they be kept as the flock, kept within the one fold of which he is the shepherd. He will not let them stray. He will keep them. He loves them. He will love them to the end. He supplies their needs. Yes, even in the presence of their enemies, he prepares a table before them that they may feed. He prepares it. He doesn't let the enemy destroy them. Little flock. Oh, these sheep themselves. They know the shepherd's voice. My sheep, he said, hear my voice. And they follow me. He leads them out and into green pastures, the still waters. Dear friends, he knows the way you take. He knows the way his sheep take. It's his way, his own way. And even when they're weak and, oh, that lovely verse, is it in Isaiah 40? He gently leads those that are with young. He knows every circumstance of his sheep. And he will not let them come into despair or into death, destruction. Dear friends, this word little, this little flock, that word little means they're small in number. That gives us a aching heart, doesn't it? Am I one of his little flock? Am I one who knows the straight gate and the narrow way which leads unto life eternal? Am I the one who, through the love of my shepherd, am following the shepherd in the way he would have me go? Am I completely dependent upon him for all grace, for all his mercy, for all his kindness? Is he the one thing needful? Dear friends, the scripture says such people, they're a remnant, the Lord's remnant. They're those who have found grace in his sight. They're those who are called by his grace. They're the ones who hear his voice and they know his voice through that teaching of the Spirit. We have in this chapter, don't we, twice, the word consider. Oh, let us consider these things. What did Paul say, is it to Timothy? Consider the words, what I say unto you, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider what I say. And the Lord give you understanding in all things. Dear friends, if that was the words of the Apostle Paul in his epistles, how much more is it in Christ and his teaching? Consider what I say. Dear friends, we need, don't we, to consider where we are concerning these truths. Or we look at these warnings. We look at these ways of sin. We look at these things when we, are separated, as we might say, from the influence of the Spirit. There was one warning I didn't touch upon, and that was denying the Lord and blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Oh, what solemn sins those are. Deny the Lord. There is no God. The witness of that truth by the Holy Spirit is not true. That's blasphemy against the Spirit, isn't it? Well, that causes us to fear when we consider how easily we can be led astray from a true believing in the Word of God in Christ Jesus and all that is this Holy Scripture contains. Dear friends, let us consider what we are. Do we know exactly how great a sinner we are? Does it make us tremble, knowing that we cannot deliver ourselves from the way of sin? Friends, I hope there's many of you here tonight like that. I hope all of you here tonight are like that. For the scripture says, concerning those who tremble at his word, because of the solemnity of the judgment of God for sin. Friends, he brings them low, doesn't it, in spirit. But the Lord says to this one, will I look? To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word, a sinner. And then to consider him who endured the cross, despising the shame, who bore the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be faint and weary in our mind. Oh, dear friends, when we tremble at the word of God and we know our sin, dear friends, does it draw you? Compel you to your knees? Pouring out your heart before the Lord? Speaking only as a sinner can do? I'm vile in thy sight. I've nothing worthy, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Then, dear friend, you're considering him, aren't you, endured the cross? And that's the leading and the teaching of the Spirit. when that's the one thing needful in your heart's desire, that's the one thing needful that you long for and need to know. Dear friends, that's the knowledge that you're a poor lamb, a poor sheep, poor and needy. Have no strength of your own, only weak. Cannot defend yourselves against the power of Satan and your own sinful heart. Left to yourself, you'll just get lost and wander away and you would perish. Oh, you need this good shepherd. You need the Lord Jesus as the shepherd of you, one of his sheep. And it's the object of your first desire. Jesus, crucified for me. Consider him. And you know, dear friends, if you can also say this is a wonderful mercy. He hath not dealt with me as my sins deserve. He hath not rewarded me according to mine iniquities. Oh, you consider him and you see his long-suffering. You look to Christ and you can see that name, that he is God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Oh, if it was not so, dear friends, we wouldn't be here tonight, would we? If the Lord had dealt with us after our sin, but do we realise it? Do we consider it? Does he bring us and keep us humble at his feet? This is the fear of the Lord, isn't it? To know if it wasn't for his mercy and for his grace, oh, we would be lost. We would ruin sin. It would bring us to utter despair and die in our sin. You know, dear friends, when we lose our presence in this world, separated from this world, we enter an eternity that never changes. A change of eternal damnation and punishment, or an eternity of everlasting life, of peace and comfort. As only God can give it through the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to consider him. And to be able to say with Jeremiah, it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning, great is his faithfulness. Dear friends, it's on these grounds, the faithfulness of God, the gift of his Son, the Son who has been given all these whom the Father hath given him, his sheep. He says, they shall come, not one of them shall be lost. I will raise them up at the last day. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, this little flock have many fears. You've got many fears, haven't you? If you're part of this little flock, you fear your own self, your sinful self. Oh, how low it can bring you at times through unbelief and the lust of your flesh. Pride seeks to be satisfied, doesn't it? How we long to be lifted up. How we look to the comforts of this earthly life more than we look to the power of the shed blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. Dear friends, you know your heart, I know mine, what it is. How we need to be kept, don't we? And that's our fear. If we do not, if we are not kept, cleansed from all sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then we shall die in our sin. But that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanseth from all sin. What a sacred truth that is. Fear not. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And loving kindness I've drawn thee to bring you where you consider your own self as a great sinner and to consider Christ, the Saviour of sinners. The truth revealed in you by the Holy Spirit. The love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Dear friends, this is the way to eternal life. It's the only way to eternal life. And dear friends, such have spoken again and again, the fear not. That lovely one in Isaiah, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The promise. Dear friends, that's the foundation of the fear nots, isn't it? The promises of God. He is faithful that hath promised. All his words, dear friends, all his promises, they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus for the salvation of the soul. In those waters, those deep waters, those troubles which they signify, the difficulties of life when we feel to be overcome, and I'm sure some of you have got deep waters through which you pass at this time, there's a fear not, I will be with thee. When thou passest through, there's an end of these things. We have to go through them. But he brings forth into a large place, as David says. His thoughts towards you are of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Dear friends, we shall always have fears and troubles and difficulties and tribulations in our earthly life. We shall know greatly the trials of our faith. Or we shall be concerned for many things nationally, in the church, in our families, in our own selves. There'll be plenty to keep us at the throne of grace, won't there? Dear friends, this promise here in this text will never be taken away. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Your Father. God, your heavenly Father. How can you call God your Father? Because through the blessing of the mercy and the grace and the power of the shed blood of Christ, you have become heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Through his shed blood, cleansed from every sin, you're made holy and pure. As the Son of God, oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. Dear friends, that's past our comprehension, isn't it? Thereby we cry, Abba Father, taught by the Spirit, that we are his. The answer to Christ's prayer, Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. Christ who died and rose again, saying to his disciples through Mary, say to my brethren, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Oh, chosen in eternity past, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, dear friends, is past our comprehension. But if we come to know these things, the salvation of our soul, the forgiveness of our sins, the mercy of Christ Jesus, the testimony of the Holy Ghost, oh, the conviction of our sin, the leading to Jesus' blood, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, dear friends, when we think of the kingdom, we think of the kingdom of heaven. Whom Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But Jesus also says the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. The evidence of Christ in you. The hope of glory. The manifestation of that love and that grace. Whereby ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor. That ye by his poverty might be made rich. Rich in that hope, expectation which will never fail. Then friends, the kingdom is within you. You have a foretaste now. And it's a foretaste of that peace, isn't it? A peace that passeth understanding. That in the midst of the tribulations and the troubles and the sorrows, the griefs of this life, there's something within. As you commit your way unto the Lord, you pour out your hearts unto him in prayers and supplications, yea, with thanksgiving. The peace of God that passeth understanding rules your heart by Christ Jesus. He knows the way you take. He won't let you fall. He won't bring you into despair. He giveth more grace. And he'll lead you safely through, giving strength sufficient for each day. Dear friends, this God is our God, I trust. And his promises are promises that we can lay hold and plead before him. Oh Lord, give me the grace, give me the faith to look beyond the things of time to the things that are eternal. Oh, I've got to pass through this world. Yes, like great waters, like the fiery trials. But thy word says thou wilt bring me safely through. Oh, and what a bringing through that will be in that last day. Dear friends, we do not know what it will be like, do we? To pass from time into eternity. There's many who have gone before us. Who have gone that way, they know. And there may have been much physical pain and sorrow and affliction and distress. But dear friends, it's a gateway. It's a gateway to eternal bliss. We don't have to deserve it. There's nothing we have to present before him to say, oh, this is my merit. I've done my duty. This is my legal righteousness. He says, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's given his Son a sacrifice for your sin. He's given his Son to suffer room in your room, place and stead. He's given you the Holy Spirit to believe on Christ. In all the fullness of his precious gospel and truth. He gave Christ power to lay down his life and take it again. And he is now risen in glory. And dear friends, there, oh, all that are his shall come unto him. And when they pass through death, dear friends, it's the way into everlasting life. Oh, Christ passed through death, the agony of it. All his bones were out of joint, his hands were pierced. Dear friends, what suffering he had. He knows what it is to pass through death of the body. But he rose again to give eternal life to all those of his own sheep whom the Father had given him. And so our end is everlasting peace. Oh, consider these things. Until then, dear friends, we have some considerations here just briefly. Consider the ravens. They were unclean birds, aren't they? Yet the Lord fed them. Consider the lilies. Oh, they were clothed in great glory. Dear friends, spiritually, consider the ravens, unclean, but the Lord fed them which with the food. We are unclean spiritually as sinners, but the Lord feeds us with the word of truth, with the bread as it is, the heavenly bread, the body broken of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be partaken of by faith, the sacrifice for sin. That we may be clothed in his righteousness, this beautiful garment, nothing we can make like it upon this earth. Oh, consider these things, what Christ has done. He said, consider the sparrows. Oh, not one of sparrows. We think, well, they fall to the ground without our knowledge, don't they? They're counted as hardly anything worth. Are there not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? But not one is forgotten before God. Ye are of value, far more value than many sparrows. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Dear friends, what a knowledge the Lord has of us. Physically, spiritually. Nothing is unknown to him. And each step of the way of our life upon this earth is in his hand. All our times are in his hand. And he leads forth by the right way, that we shall one day come to that city of habitation, a place eternal in the heavens, to live with him forevermore in the kingdom of heaven. Dear friends, if our beginnings are right, if our life conducted upon this earth is right in the fear of God, the ending will be right. Taught by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Oh, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Dear friends, if that's your state today, through what the Lord has led you and done for you and revealed to you, then fear not. Whatever may come through the days of this new year, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom when that day shall come. And dear friends, if you know not but desire it, what does the previous verse say? But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek. Seek it, that you may not be left out of the true knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's the one thing needful. As Matthew puts it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added unto you. A gracious God, an almighty God, a loving God, an eternal God. He knoweth them that are his. They shall come, and they shall dwell with him forevermore. The Lord confirm us in the way everlasting. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley again next Friday evening. Hymn 567. 567. Jesus the Lord, my Saviour, is my shepherd and my God, my light, my strength, my joy, my bliss, and I his grace record. In 567.
Lord, may the testimony of our closing hymn be applicable to each one of us here tonight and those who are listening in. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, dependent and recipients of thy precious promises, for thou art a faithful God. Thou wilt lead us on fair Zion's road, though weak and weary and sore. But, oh, fear not. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to land you safely on that shore of eternal bliss. So, Lord, may it be for each one of us. Bless thine own word. Pardon all that has been amiss. Watch over us as we separate. Take us safely to our home. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.